ancient legends and myths tell us about places that might or might not exist or have existed. Magical, fantastical lands that sound too rare for us to believe. And today, we're gonna go chasing after a legendary land, along with a young map maker who had seen this place only in his dreams. He's convinced that it exists, but does it? And if it does, who or what are its inhabitants? Is he and his companion going to find it in the first place? Let's find that out. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode by yours truly, Aidly Suarez. This is The Map to an Unknown Place. My right hand moved slowly on the parchment, tracing an invisible mark all over the drawing of the map in front of me. I always imagined the greatness hidden from us in places we don't know yet. Emphasis in the word yet, because I knew one day, soon, we'd discover them. The candle was almost completely melted. I took a deep breath before blowing it out. Then I stood up and rolled the parchment with delicacy, my most recent creation, finally done. The months of my life that this map took, and the nights I could not sleep while dreaming of this land, they need to pay off, for my wellness sake. I put away my beloved, well hidden under my litter. Now, I just needed to wait until dawn, when I will show the map I made to my lord. Although I was no more than just a map maker, I had to dream of discovering those places I drew, those that I knew existed, and that dream was like a flame burning in my chest. Yes, even when those places would sound too absurd to be real, the one thing that lit a spark up in my heart was that one time I overheard the warriors, those who had just arrived from battling in a different land, that were talking about how they had found a land full of wonders. There were various beasts, beasts that were as tall as towers, as strong as the sea, as terrifying as the darkest forest alone at midnight. But among those things, they claimed to also have seen the highest trees to ever exist and a massive white wall that was surrounding three hills. In that description, I've seen something like that in my dreams multiple times. It was the reason why I added that territory to this map. Perhaps I could convince those above me to send an expedition. My heart was pumping blood fast enough to steal the sleep from me. I got on my knees and started praying and praying. May I find grace in the eyes of God, so they will accept sending an expedition to explore those lands. The light of a new day woke me up, and before I could even think of anything else, I took the parchment from under my litter and then, with the map covered with a leather bag, I went straight to the convent. The Pope was washing his hands with water from a golden fountain when I arrived. A poor boy with shivering hands was how I looked in front of him, only listening to a chorus of nuns chanting the morning prayers.
"What is that deed that needs the Lord's blessing, young map maker?"
His voice was a whispering hug in the heart, enough for me to embrace the hope and the excitement. I remained as calm as possible. "May God, who's in heaven, bless my lord. Here in this parchment, I have the map that your servant had just finished, in which we find the lands we know, the lands of ours. the lands we conquered, and even the lands we don't know yet.
What do you mean, the lands we don't know yet?
The lands that seem to fascinate the warriors, those who just came from the war.
Are you referring to the hallucinations the warriors had as a consequence of experiencing too much death, blood, and tragedy? God forbid such things from existing.
The Pope murmured the last sentence, as if he was saying it to himself, although I could hear it very clear. He stood up beside a plain and empty table, and with a gesture of his hand, I understood that he wanted me to open the parchment and place it on the table. I did exactly that, with a nervous movement that I tried to control the best I could. He moved his face closer to the map, like he was analyzing every detail, until his eyes finally stopped upon the unknown place traced in the map. The lines, irregular and simulating hills, were the most faithful results I could get of what I saw in my dreams. Three hills, side by side of each other, surrounded by a massive wall made out of marble, and trees that were so tall you might reach the sky if you climbed them, or die in the process. However, with only a piece of parchment, black ink, and a human hand, there was no way of making justice to the greatness of the place I saw in my dreams, and now I strongly believe that exists because of what I've heard. Now, I want to see those majestic lands with my very own eyes.
You haven't named it.
The sound of my lord's voice made me fall back into this moment. My mind quickly reminded me that this was my only chance of getting the permission and blessings to be sent on an expedition to find that place. No, my lord, it is not mine, the right to put a name to that place. Perhaps we can find a way to communicate with the people who live in such a blessed land, and they already have the perfect name. He kept on looking at the map for a couple of seconds before giving me a significant look.
The warriors have been telling me about a land with terrifying creatures, but they have described something that, to me, seemed celestial, as if there were angels living in there. And if you had seen that place in your sleep with enough clarity to be able to draw it and make a map, it must be God.
Must have been God who wanted us to find it, yes. There wasn't anything else to be said. The expedition would be happening. It took a couple of months to prepare for the expedition. I, as the one who made the map and understood how to read it more than the group of people going with me, will be the one guiding. There were two of the warriors, considered the best, not only in battle, but also in terms of sanity and clarity after the things they had been through. A young apprentice of an artist, sent by the Pope himself in order to make a painting of the lands, from afar, from within, from above, anything he could paint. The day came and we left our homes, with our food and our things, each one of us riding a horse in order to move a little bit faster than if we were walking with our bare feet. The first 2 days passed by faster than we expected, coming and going with the sound of us singing and getting to know each other. We talked about our families, our lives, our dreams. I was asked to describe my dreams with more detail. I felt flattered by the interest they showed me. The first night was also less terrifying than what I thought it would be. We made a fire and sat down around it, eating dinner and enjoying the calm sound of nature before going to sleep. Then, during day three of our adventure, we entered the small town of Bernalia, where we bought more food for the trip and stayed the night at an inn. I saw the land in my sleep once more and told my companion about it the next morning, which made them become more excited to find it. We were all wondering how long exactly it would take for us to arrive. If anyone in this group still had doubts about that place, they didn't show it. So the days were coming and going. I was surprised at how quickly we became used to not being at home, and how we would always find entertainment for the trip. We entered the different towns along the way, glad to have enough food for the days in the wild. But eventually, there were no more towns in our path, not that we knew, or that was registered in the map I made, which meant it wasn't to my knowledge. So in the last town we encountered, one called Foryork, we made sure to have everything we would need to go further and return. That was when we started getting more nervous, not sure how far those lands were, or if we would be able to find it before having to go back. But no one said anything about it. My companion and I just kept moving forward. Someone, the woman who owned the inn we stayed at, warned us about the dangers we could find before giving us more food for free, especially for the two warriors. She seemed genuinely concerned, but we let her know that we would be fine and returned to visit her on our way back home. Then we thanked her and left the town. The day after leaving Foryork, we found ourselves in the woods. The sunlight would barely illuminate us through the thick trees. We wanted to find a clear space under the sky before the night came, but seemingly there was none, and we didn't want to get lost. At that moment, everyone decided that it was perfectly fine to finally show how nervous we all were. The young apprentice was scared, I was scared, and the two warriors were ready to attack and defend if anything happened. We were about to fall asleep when a tremendous noise broke into the quiet, cold night. The ground beneath us moved along with the noise, and the warriors panicked. They said they knew what it was.
The beast. We must be really close.
For a moment, I thought that my heart wanted to jump out of my chest. We were arriving. We found the land of my dreams.
From which direction is that noise coming?
The young apprentice asked me. I looked around for a couple of seconds and then opened my map, licked my thumb, and concentrated on feeling the cold air touching my wet finger. In which direction we needed to go was the right question. The noise scared us once again. The ground moved, and I ignored the fact that we wouldn't be able to fight against whatever those beasts were. If we were to die, there wasn't a better way than this one. I told them which direction we needed to take and started walking with them behind me. The forest was empty of animals, something I didn't stop to think about until that moment when I knew the reason. Those beasts.
They don't sleep, always walking around,
one of the warriors commented.
And they don't seem to eat, as if there were some supernatural beings. We could say that perhaps they only eat human flesh, but no, they don't eat that either,
said the other warrior. They were talking from the experience, remembering what they saw when they unwillingly encountered this land. It was helpful to know that we were not in danger of being eaten by those beasts. We were only in danger of being killed in another way, like smashed, for instance. Staring to the horizon, we could see the end of the forest and the start of a prairie. There were those beasts. As tall as towers, indeed. I was shaken. Probably we were all shaken, but in my case it was the excitement and the feeling of being out of breath. Because there it was, in front of me, closer than ever, although not enough.
We must wait here until the morning, so I can make the painting with the light of the sun, and then after I'm finished, we go back home.
The young apprentice tried to maintain the calmness in his voice while talking, even if it was useless. He seemed out of breath as well. The nervousness and the fear were loud to our ears. I was close to telling them that we will go to the wall. I needed to see the land behind it, one that was certainly majestic and celestial if it was guarded by these beasts and the massive wall.
We cannot sleep here.
All of us agreed that it will be a long night in which we'd have to take turns to sleep and to watch. During the entire night, the roam of those creatures was the only noise, and the ground wouldn't stop trembling as a consequence of their roaming. When it was my turn to watch over my companion, along with one of the warriors, we both paid close attention to the beasts, because he told me that it seemed like they were making the exact same movements. It was true. They wouldn't move any more or any less. It was the exact same amount of steps, the same gestures, their hands, head, feet, breathing, blinking. Everyone was the same, as if they were controlling and repeating the minimum detail, even the impossible ones. The warrior and I looked at each other before waking up the other warrior and the apprentice to show them the weirdness of what was happening. "Do you think they're under a spell?" I asked.
"Perhaps they're made out of a spell and they're not real,"
the apprentice said in a low tone of voice. "An illusion, you say?" I questioned him.
"It will explain so much,"
commented one of the warriors.
"But who will do that?"
the other warrior asked. "Clearly the inhabitants of this land," I responded. Our eyes were still looking at those creatures the entire time, deciding whether to test our theory or not. I would have voted for yes. The sun started rising from behind the mountains, and the view was magical. The apprentice decided that he will make the most out of it and started painting. When it comes to me, I had a small argument with my companion before I could let them know that no one was going to stop me from getting closer. We needed to know more than just this land's existence and a painting to prove it. We needed to see who were the inhabitants and what they had, how they lived, and if they were even human beings. I walked towards the beasts, carefully, but they seemed blind and deaf. Could because there was no reaction whatsoever, but I was getting closer and closer. My heart was in my throat. I was almost throwing up. Deep breathing and blurred sight made me walk slower but steady still. Then, the massive wall parted like a giant door opening. I stopped and waited for the worst with my breath held in. The beasts disappeared and the sun rays blinded me, shining through the opened wall. I tried my best to see through, and a silhouette of a man was getting closer to me. I couldn't know if he was the one moving towards me or I was the one moving towards him. Within seconds, we were facing each other. He was still a shiny silhouette. That was when I wondered if it was the sun or this man shining through the wall. He made a sound, as if he was trying to communicate something, but I couldn't understand. It didn't even sound like a language. He put his hand on my forehead, and I was paralyzed. I felt something weird, like his hands were warm but cold at the same time. After a moment, he started talking in my language. No one has ever gotten this close to our dominion. We don't care who you are and what your position is amongst the mortals. We came here to warn you. Leave before you die. It brought even more to my attention the fact that he was referring to himself as multiple people. I was shivering. I was feeling uncanny on his presence, so the thought of turning my back to him and walking away was as terrifying as the thought of staying here. At the same time, I didn't want to just obey him and leave, when my dreams wouldn't let me sleep anymore if I didn't know what was on the other side of that marble wall. "You have seen us in your dreams," he said. I was sure he could hear my thoughts, and that was both fascinating and the scariest thing I've ever experienced. The silhouette got clearer. I could finally see his face. His beauty left me even more breathless. He gave me a look that let me know his surprise for me, dreaming of this place, was genuine and pure. Like it was impossible or just shouldn't have happened.
"For how long?"
It was a question for me, but I didn't have a rational answer since I seemed to have forgotten absolutely everything. I prepared myself mentally before I spoke. "I can't remember for how long I've been dreaming of this place, but it has always been a burning flame, and I couldn't do anything else than prepare a map and come here to see if it was real."
"How did you make a map if you hadn't ever come here before?"
I believe it was God. He wanted us to find this land. He analyzed me for a second. When he continued talking, his voice was more friendly and even gave me a beautiful smile.
"If the Almighty brought you here, then tell your companion you are all welcome to see behind these walls."
I didn't know how to react, but before I could do or say anything, I was sent to where the two warriors and the apprentice were. I appeared from behind and scared them. They asked me what happened and where I was, told me that I suddenly disappeared from their sight, and I told them everything that happened, that I experienced, and how we were welcome to enter. I could not tell if they were excited or terrified. It might have been both. Still, we went and found the entrance, where more people like the man, who I now think was an angel, were chanting and playing different instruments that I couldn't identify, but they all sounded incredibly beautiful. There was a whole city within these walls, with fountains and houses. Everything was white, gold, and crystal. I felt how the apprentice beside me was feeling height. Most certainly, he wanted to paint all of this and didn't even know how to start. This city didn't have a lot of inhabitants, and they all knew each other, and in my eyes, treated each other as siblings. I wouldn't be surprised if they were all one family.
Imathael is the name of our dominion,
he, whose name I don't know, said, as if he was reading the thoughts in my head again. This time I was not surprised. Imathael was the name of this territory, and it was magical indeed. The white and crystal structures seem to light up when you say it out loud. The fountains, the sculptures, the people, and even the three hills seem out of this world and not made for the human race. I wanted to ask, what were they, if they were angels on earth? But one of the warriors spoke first.
And are you all messengers of God?
The angel nodded, confirming once for all that they weren't human. A shiver went down my spine and my stomach tightened. I didn't want to hold back the tears that were fighting to fall, and the smile that demonstrated how overwhelmed with happiness I felt. Everything I had been dreaming of since what felt like forever, the land, the angels, structures, and all, they existed and I found it.
This place needs to remain as unknown as it has been. We only ask for prudence and for you all to never tell anyone about it, nor shall you show it, paint it, put it on a map, tell your superiors. Let this be a secret between you four and us,
the angel said, taking us off guard. And I knew I would have tried to disagree if it wasn't because I understood the reason why. Mankind is a curious yet ambitious race. As soon as any of us would have said something about what we found and that it was all real, there would have been a war and an attempt to conquer this place. Ridiculous idea. To fight against angels for a place that just doesn't belong, nor was it made for us. But so we were, and deep down, the warrior, the apprentice, and I knew it very well. The four of us nodded, agreeing with the angel without having to say one more word. The angel seemed pleased with our response, because he gave us a big smile and finally told us that his name was Ramael, which meant Thunder of God. He let us stay at Imathael for a couple of days before sending us back home. Needless to say, we all let our superiors know that the land I drew didn't exist and that it was all just an illusion from my imaginative mind and a hallucination from the warriors, just like they all expected since the beginning. The apprentice burned the painting he did, and I did exactly the same with the map I made to an unknown place. Pardon me, I did the same with the map I made to a non-existent place.